sermon outline, and I want you to hang on to that. You can take it home with you, and that way, if there's any of these scriptures you want to look up and read the part before it and the part after it and all of that, it'll be good for you to have that. And I don't know about the rest of you guys, but anytime I used to go to church, man, I would listen close, and I'd get home, and somebody would ask me, what did the preacher preach on today? And I don't know what the deal was, but I would always draw like almost a total blank. Does that ever happen to you? And I mean, for a minute. Now, it come back to me after a while. But you see, that's part of the reason why we want to send something home with you, because that helps you. And if you want to make notes, you know, you can flip that thing over on, or have you another sheet of paper, or you can write a little note beside the different areas and everything. But I think that this is a really important study God's got us going through right now. We've been talking about prayer. We've been talking about the necessity of prayer in the church, the necessity of prayer in our lives, and the necessity of prayer in Jesus' heart. Whenever he looked at the church, we talked, the way this all started was on his way to the cross. He was coming into Jerusalem. He had set his face to come into Jerusalem. And as he was coming into Jerusalem, one of the first things he did was go and cleanse the temple. And we read in John, he had done it earlier in his ministry as well. But what we know is he was dead serious about that temple being cleansed. He wanted that temple to be something. And it was his temple, so he should be the one to say. Do y'all remember what he said it needed to be? A house of prayer, right? For all nations. And guys, here's the deal. Right here is God's temple. You see, now that Jesus has come, now that Jesus has gone to the cross, now that Jesus has gone to the grave, and now that Jesus has resurrected, and 40 days later he went back to heaven, you see, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And whenever this is where God dwells. He don't dwell in that house over there in Jerusalem no more. In fact, they kept believing that, the Jews did, and they wouldn't turn to Jesus, so God just had the temple wiped out. He said, now if you guys aren't going to come along on this thing. You're my people, and you're not believing in me. And you keep believing in the power of that temple and the power of those sacrifices, and you don't believe I am the sacrifice, that I'm going to have to just wipe it out. And Jesus knew it ahead of time. In fact, he wept over Jerusalem before he went down into it, because he could see this whole thing playing out. He knew it was going to happen. It's because of the stubbornness of our hearts, guys. And you know what? Here we are 2,000 years removed. And dare I say, we're still kind of doing the same thing. We got to be real careful and do things God's way. And I'll tell you the way that the church has been kind of doing, and I'm not just picking on our church here, you know, because the church is bigger. We've expressed that, you know. We're a bigger family. It's like worldwide, and even as much so, you know, when we think about our direct neighbors here in the United States, we've got a church that is all across the United States. And as, by and large, the church in the United States has been trying to do God's work our way through the programs we devise. Unfortunately, sometimes what we'll do is we'll have a meeting and we'll talk about things and we'll ask each other what this needs to look like, and then, man, full steam ahead, and whenever things ain't working so good, then we go back and ask God to fix it, and that's when we begin to pray. And I'm just saying, this has been a probably the example that I've observed. Okay? And I don't think that's how God wants us to do it. And I think God wants us to go to him first. And if we'll go to him first, then that's what we're going to study today, because this is what the early church in the book of Acts did. You see, we got stuff to learn from them, because you see, God's still the same God, and God still does things the same way. And so, how many of you guys have read the book of Acts? Go ahead and raise your hand if you've read the book of Acts, all the way through. The Acts of the Early Apostles. Okay, cool. So I got quite a few people in here that have really read it, and I probably, chances are, if you've read it once, you read it more than once. Because, I mean, once you go through it, it just stokes your furnace, and you go, wow, I want to look at this more, you know? And so you keep going back to it. But I'm just going to tell you, the church in the book of Acts has got power. There's power flowing out of that church. I mean, at every moment, in every story, I'm just telling you, there was never a thing that came up that God didn't flow his power through that church to give them what they needed. Now, did they come on persecution? Absolutely. Did they feel suffering? Absolutely. Did some of them get killed? Absolutely. But I'm telling you, there was power coming from the early church. They were powerful, and it was the power of God. So I just got to ask, you know, like God said, all right, I just want you to study on this one topic for a little while, the source of their power. And so we could easily just say, oh, well, you know, it's God. It's the power of God, right? It is. But what I want to know is, how did they access that power? Because you see, guys, God's still just as powerful. But I'm just going to ask you, if we look at the Church of America today and we look at the church in the book of Acts, do we see, does it really resemble the kind of power we saw flowing out of the early church in the book of Acts? Not really. Now, at times, maybe we see glimpses of it. But guys, I'm wanting to see like a great revival that brings about that kind of power flow from the church all the time. Because if that happens, I'm going to tell you what that kind of revival is going to bring. That revival is going to bring an awakening like we've never seen before. You see, once God's people get right with God and He flows His power through that church, I'm going to tell you what happens. People get saved. Yeah. Same thing we saw in the book of Acts, like people were getting saved. That's what we're going to look at today, because I'm talking like not just one or two. I'm talking thousands of people at one time. God was touching their hearts because His power was flowing through the church. And so like here's what I want to know. Show us how to access that power. And not so we can use it ourselves. It's not what it's about. It's to carry out the mission God's given us. So on this next slide, we'll kind of look at this just a little bit, because I think this might be kind of a key. Having a plan, right? Having a plan. We just talked about that with the kids. Having a plan, like ahead. In fact, at one of our Bible studies at our home, we were talking about having a plan ahead. You know, we want to plan ahead. We want to have kind of like know where we're going and it. Okay, who can best give us that plan? Like God can do it a whole lot better than I can do it. Amen? Because just like we talked about with kids, God knows from beginning to end. You know, Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour that Jesus is coming back except Father. He knows the exact moment. He already knows that. So if He knows everything, why do we keep trying to do this on our own? So here's whenever God's actually leading the church. Now, who's the head of this church? Jesus is the head, right? Let me ask you something. When you get ready to do something with your body, which part should be leading? Your head. If your head's not leading, you're in trouble, right? And every once in a while, you know, we'll do stuff where we don't think about it first. How's that work out for you? Usually don't work out real good. And so the church is the same way. We're the body of Christ, and our head needs to be leading. And this is how I think that we're going to see in the book of Acts that it works. Okay? Number one, prayer leads to vision. The vision is getting from God what He's really wanting to do. And so the prayer is what leads us to that. Number two, the vision leads to the mission. Okay? Now, we've got a general mission statement for the church. It hasn't changed from when Jesus stood there getting ready to ascend back to heaven. And He said, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. That's Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And so, like that main larger mission never changes. We got that. But I'm going to tell you, the way we carry that out in a local church, you know, our method is going to look a little different from time to time. That's what we're really needing to get from God. Okay? So the prayer leads to the vision. The vision leads to the mission. Now, you got to see now, we don't push a chain. Okay? We don't push a rope. It's got to be pulled in proper sequence for it to do us any good. Amen? Did anybody ever try to push a rope? Did you ever try to push a chain? It just don't work. Okay, so we got to get this. You don't try to push a cart with a horse, right? You put the horse before the cart. So if we get this right, I think this is whenever it begins to work. And so number three, once we get this all in line, so now we've prayed, which led us to a vision, and then we put the vision and add it to the mission, which is what we're going to be doing. That should be helping us make our decisions. Now see, if we make the decision first, and then we start seeking, we get a decision which leads us to a vision, which leads us to a mission, And then all of a sudden we decide, whoa, this ain't working. We probably better pray. That might be why we're not seeing that kind of power and success coming out of the church. Okay? And again, I'm not picking on us. I'm picking on myself, okay? I'm picking on myself because I got to stop doing this. I need to get it right. And so how does this all break down? I think a lot of times we're afraid God won't show us. You know, I think maybe we're thinking, okay, so we pray, how's God going to show us? All right? Is he just going to speak from heaven? What's he going to do? I'll tell you what, if we pray and we're actually in his word, I think that's whenever stuff starts happening. I think God speaks to us through his word, and he personalizes it. He doesn't change it for us, but he actually says, here it is, right here. This is what I want you to do in your community. This is how I want you to. And he'll bring it through other people as well, you know. I'll just be honest with you. Just kind of going backwards a little bit. We prayed. We asked God to bring someone to lead us in revival. And God brought Brother Harold Riley in September. Okay? And I believe he was called of God to be here, and he spoke to us. And whenever he did, he spoke to us about that he saw an open door in the most common interest in our community would be the schools. That we needed to start ministering to the schools more. Okay? And he said, now I'm not talking about you going, you know, and you try to subvert anything that the school's doing. I'm talking about you go find out how you can be a blessing to the school. That's what you need to do. You just need to go ask them, what do you need? How can we help? We're your friends. That's how we can then become a blessing to the families in the school as well. And that's where all of our families really congregate. That's where they come together. And it's one of the few things in our community that really works. And I'm just going to tell you, we prayed first, God answered. And he showed us how that's the way the early church did as well. And I think God has really blessed us to have some favor in the ability to be a blessing to our schools. A little bit more this year than even in the past. We already had some stuff going on. And I just think that stuff was strengthened. And it was. And I believe next year and the years to come, it's even going to get better. I really do. Because I think that we really want to be a blessing to our schools and the children there. And the prayer ministry at Kingston has been awesome. The Bible club at Richwoods that got started mid-year has just been a blessing. We had one little guy come to us talking about how since he started coming to the Bible club, he's been prevented from coming of late, but he's really living out a relationship with Jesus now. He's been reading his Bible on his own. He's been praying on his own every day, he said. He's really seeking God. Guys, that's a victory for the home team, amen? And it had nothing to do with just people and what people's decisions were. It had to do with following God's vision, and I think we're going to see a mission come out of that, which we did. You put the two together, it starts to create and get the decisions being made in the right way, and then God comes, and that's all there is to it. Now, how did it look in the early church? We're going to look at what the disciples did before they got their vision from Jesus. Before they really started seeking the Lord, we're going to see what the disciples did. Simon Peter said to them, verse 3 of chapter 21 of John, I'm going fishing. You see, Jesus hadn't quite gone back to heaven, and they really didn't know what to do. Did you ever do that? You know, you surrender to God, and you're like all about it, and you feel it, man, you're feeling it, and then like a few days later, nothing's really happening, and you go, I don't know what to do. I guess I just go back to doing what I did before. Do I get an amen? Anybody ever do that? I tried going back to fishing again. It didn't work out very good for me. And guess what, guys? When you read this story, he wasn't the only one that did it. And so they, being the other disciples that were with him, they said, we're going with you also. So he became a leader. Peter was a leader. But the only problem was he was kind of leading them in the wrong way. So they went out and immediately got into the boat. You notice that word immediately? Like, they never asked God. They never said, I wonder what God wants us to do. They just said, I'm just going to do what I've always done because that's what I always do. And that night, they caught, can you say it with me? No. Nothing. How many of our plans have been failing, amen, in your own life? Yeah, I think I keep doing it. I keep going fishing on my own and I keep catching nothing. But you know, we all know the rest of the story. Jesus, he just shows up like he's so cool about doing, right? He's got authority. He can show up when he feels like it. and he felt like it that day. And he's over on the shore, and he goes, "Hey, cast your net on the other side." Well, you know, he'd done this once before with Peter. Whenever Peter finally realized who Jesus was, you know, Jesus had started his preaching ministry and everything, and Peter's kind of wondering, I think, at this point. He says, "Cast your net on the other side of the boat." And he said, "Look, we fished all night. We're professional fishermen here." You know, I mean, like, we put our heads together and we've done this thing all night. But hey, just because you say we're going to show you that, you know, you don't know anything, but we'll throw our net on the other side of the boat. Y'all remember what happened? They caught so many that the net was like ripping open and stuff. And I mean, like, this was awesome. You know, so this time, Peter immediately knew who it was. Because you see, Jesus took him back to that same moment. Guys, when God takes us back to that moment, like we last really had that experience with him, he's trying to tell us something. He's saying, "Return to me, return to where you found me before, return to what you were doing before, return to me, and then I'll give you what you need." So like in this story right here, awesome stuff happened at this point. In fact, they caught a whole bunch. Peter forgot about him. He swam to shore. The rest of them are doing all the work. They get the fish in there, and guess what? Jesus says, "Here, you want a bite to eat?" He'd already done cooked breakfast for them. He didn't even need their nets. You see, God don't need us. He wants to use us. It's part of a blessing to us. And then this is the whole experience where Jesus reinstates Peter after his denial. He denied him three times. Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" Peter gets frustrated with him after he reassures him. Three times he does. But every time he said, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." He says, like, Peter got his vision from Jesus. This is what the rest of Peter's life was going to look like. Guys, I'm going to tell you, the profound moment with God, it may not last long, so you better listen close. And I would say, dare say to us, because my memory's not real good, you might want to write it down. Because you see, this vision wound up being the rest of Peter's life. Not only that, he said, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." He tells him, "Your destiny is you'll be persecuted." And he understood. And the last one, "Follow me." He said, "Here's the score. Here's what your life's going to look like. It ain't going to be like it used to be. But you need to follow me," and I'm going to tell you, whenever Peter followed him, he had the power of God. If he'd have kept on fishing, guys, I bet he'd have lived the rest of his life in frustration and accomplishing nothing, because he didn't have God's blessing for fishing anymore. He had become a fisher of men. He got his vision from Jesus there. Now we're going to see, after he got his vision, what did the rest of it look like? Well, first we're going to go to Luke, the book of Luke, and we're going to see what Luke has to say about all this stuff and about the vision that's being given. You see, Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And here in the Gospel of Luke, just right before Jesus goes back to heaven, then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the Scriptures. So now, how does God talk to us? Primarily through the Scriptures. And so he's got everybody standing out there. He's getting ready to go up to heaven. He's giving them their last words. And guess what he does? He opens their minds so they can begin to understand how the Old Testament was pointing toward him all the time. And then he said to them, "Thus it is written that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day." And we continue on. "And that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem," their home. "And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Okay, now you see, Peter tried doing it his way, and he just went back to fishing. Jesus gave him a vision statement. Now he's given this vision statement to everybody. "Here's your next command. Let's see if you can do this." Okay? "Just stay in Jerusalem. until you get this power. How'd they know what that power was going to be like? They had never received it before. So how are they going to know? They had to wait and see. They had to trust God in faith. So in other words, I'm going to go ahead and add a few words here. He says, don't just go back to what you were doing before. Okay? Now I'm throwing that in there because we know that's what he was telling Peter. He's saying, you go wait in Jerusalem because I'm going to send the promise. And whenever I do, don't worry, you'll know it. It's going to, you know, you're not going to miss it. Just hang out there until it happens. And then we pick it up in Acts 1, 7 and 8. This kind of continuation of it all. Same guy writing it. He saw the same thing. Holy Spirit's pushing it through him. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What's this power going to do? Listen to what it says. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You know, we're talking about Brother Harold today. After the service, we're going to be having, you know, a celebration of his life. But I can tell you, Brother Harold taught me about that word shall. It means it's going to happen. And so the best thing for us to do is, like, get in with God on this thing and agree with him so that we can be a beneficiary of it and it'll happen in even a greater way. But see, he's telling them what to do. He's telling them. And now after this, man, he goes back up to heaven. They don't get another chance to ask him in the same way. But he's telling them that they are going to be his witnesses. They're going to do it through the power that God gives them. You know why? Here's the deal. I'm going to go ahead and kind of bring some practical application. They say like less than 5% of the church actually witnesses for God on an active basis, on a regular basis. They say less than 5% of the church nationwide even really plans on sharing their faith. Okay, now let's go back to here. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So what? Just go ahead and ask me, why do I think we're not witnessing? I'm afraid that a lot of the church has not really received the power. It's one thing to profess God as your Savior, to profess Jesus as your Savior. But I'm going to tell you, something happens when you really surrender to Him. When it's for real, the Holy Spirit comes. And I'm afraid a lot of people are thinking that they got something they ain't got yet. And I'm not trying to decide who it is. That ain't my place. But I'm just telling you, if we have the Holy Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit is going to help us do. If you have the Holy Spirit, you will be bold. You will be a witness in some way, shape, or form. Now, it's going to look in varying degrees, so I ain't trying to scare nobody. And it's a process. But I'm telling you, He'll put a burden on your heart, and you just can't not do it. I know that was a terrible grammar I just used, but it's just true. Like, you just can't not do it. You have to. Yeah, that's right. Two negatives makes a positive. You have to. I'm telling you, I didn't go out after being saved and go, man, I just want to be a preacher and a teacher and an evangelist. No, I said, that scares me to death. But God finally just made it to where I couldn't stand not doing it anymore. He put a fire shut up in my bones that I've got to let out. Do you have that fire, church? Please tell me yes. Because if we got that fire, you know what that fire is? The Holy Spirit living in us, and he's bursting at the seams to get out. Because you see, the Holy Spirit loves the neighbors. He loves the people out there, and he is dying to see them hear the gospel. And he will just make it burst out of us if we won't just do it. But the best thing to do is get in with him on this thing and say, okay, God, I'm nervous as can be, but I'm praying you'll give me strength. Give me direction. Show me how to do this thing, and I'll do it. And then we'll go out. And I'll tell you, it'll be the greatest joy that we ever have. I have seen no church any closer than a church that goes out together to reach the neighbors. Anytime we see that, we see unity. We see amazing power. We see love that is just flowing whenever it's coming from God through the church. We see no church that's any closer in unity of fellowship than when your fellowship is revolving around the proclamation of the gospel out of love for your neighbors. Closest guys I've ever been to in church were not guys I was most like. I can tell you, I got closest to the guys that we went out, knocked on doors together. We went to the mall and stood in the parking lot together talking to people. We went to witnessing clinics and then went out and talked to people together. We did mission trips together. We did this together. That's how we got so close. And I'm just telling you guys, it's because of the Holy Spirit that lived in us. I can be honest with you, if I'd met some of those guys out on the street, I wouldn't want nothing to do with them just because we were so different. But the Holy Spirit was so much the same in all of us and made us close, knit us together. And that's where the power comes from. So let's see, what did the church do after they were told all these things? Acts 1, 12 through 14. Guys, here's the thing. They did what he said. This is how the power came. They actually did it. Say amen. Good job. See, on the 40th day past his resurrection, Jesus went back to heaven. Pentecost. Pent means 50. 50 days past that resurrection is whenever this experience comes. So you do the math. 40 from 50 is 10. They had a 10-day nonstop prayer meeting. 120 of them. So let's read it. Then they returned to Jerusalem, just like he said, from the mount called Olivet, that's where he ascended from, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. That means it's close. And when they had entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Then, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. We read somewhere else, there was 120 of them. Guys, you know what they were doing? They were doing what he said, and they were waiting on this power. They were believers at this point. They were waiting for that power that he promised, and they were trusting in faith that he was really going to do it. And I'm going to tell you, 10 days to wait on something like this is a pretty big deal. I want you all to imagine now, how many days have you gotten together and went into prayer in seeking of the Lord with other people before? What's the longest you've ever done? Just really staying connected with somebody. How about staying in the same room with them? 3 or 4 hours? We had a 3 or 4 hour prayer meeting in our house the other day. It was awesome. But I'm talking like these folks stayed together for 10 days waiting on their answer. And man, whenever the answer came, wow. Well, we'll just jump forward. Acts 2:1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. What happened next? Holy Spirit came upon them. They started speaking in tongues. And you know what happened when they started speaking in tongues? They all started understanding each other. Like there was people from all over the world in Jerusalem at that time. Whenever they spoke, they heard it in their own language. And the gospel went out with boldness. It was amazing. And Peter preached a sermon, and I'll tell you what, I'm a preacher, and I've read Peter's sermon. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't all that spectacular either. In fact, he laid the smack down on him. He said, "This Jesus whom you killed!" And he put it on him. And you know what happened? 3,000 people got saved that day. Amen? You know why? Because the power of God was flowing through them. If he'd have went out and preached that message one day before, they probably would have stoned him to death right there on the spot. But you see, he waited on the power, and when the power had come upon him, he went. You know what? We can fast forward. We're going to get through all these. Because we're going to look at how the power flowed in the days to come. The next preaching engagement, when they were going to it, a guy got healed and 5,000 people got saved that time. You know why? Because the power of God was flowing through them. Do you want that power, church? The way to get that power is to go to God. Beg Him to lead us. And if He's leading us and we're following Him, we're going to see the same kind of power flowing, guys. And we may not see the exact same numbers. Don't look for that, because it ain't about the numbers. You know, every soul is precious to God. I'll tell you what, guys, you don't have to know it all before you do it either. Because God does. He shows up. He'll give you what you need. You know, I've been here. Here's where I've been. Maybe you guys have never been here. First time I went out, I'm just going to give you a real quick kind of application here. First time I went out to witness, I thought, but what do I do if they really do want to accept Jesus? I'm like in fear and trembling here. I don't know what to do. Guys, it ain't up to you. So like I did, I went out, you know, and I'm witnessing to this lady. And I said, I told her, you know, she was like, if I'd have died right then, she was talking about experience she had. If I'd died right then, I don't know what would have happened. I'm so fearful. And I said, well, how fearful? Been 3 months. She hadn't hardly slept a night in 3 months because she was so worried about this. She said, wakes me up every night wondering what would have happened to me if I would have ceased breathing that day. And I said, do you want to know what the Bible has to say? Oh, yes. See, guys, it wasn't up to me. I just read it from the Word. And I get to the party, who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know what? I didn't have to explain all that to her because the Holy Spirit was working in her. Her husband came out and he goes, what you two talking about out there? We were helping clean up the yard and she was with another lady and I was just standing on the sidewalk. And I said, hi, you know, I'm John Jones and I'm from Missouri and we're helping clean up your neighborhood. And I was just explaining to your wife about what the Bible says about salvation. He said, okay. And I said, how about you? I said, do you know what would happen to you if you died today? And he said, I'd go straight to hell. And there ain't nothing anybody can do about it. I said, you know what? Jesus did something about it. And he said, I don't believe none of that stuff. And I said, what's your name? And he said, Irwin. And I said, Irwin, let me ask you something. Do you want to know what the Bible has to say? And he said, no. He said, nobody can save me. I've been too bad of a person. And I said, you know that while you were, we all are, and Jesus died for us even in our sin. And he said, I don't want to hear it. He said, I'm going back in the house. I didn't tackle him. You guys are wondering. I said, well, I can't force you. So he went back in the house, and I'm looking at his wife. He turned around and looked at his wife. He said, are you coming too? And she goes, her name's Paula. She said, no, I'm not coming. She said, I want to hear what he has to say about what the Bible says. And he said, well, you suit yourself. And he closed the door. He handed me a couple lemons off of his tree. Life gives you lemons. You know what you're supposed to do. So I went ahead and made some lemonade with this. And I gave the gospel to this lady. And I'm going to tell you something. As I spoke, it was like God rested on her. It was like I could almost physically see. Just like when Jesus got baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. It was almost like the dove came to her. And she just started to glow. And she started to weep. And I said, do you believe this? And she said, yes. And I said, what do you want to do about it? And she said, I want to become a Christian today. And I said, would you like to pray? And I'm going to tell you, I did not have to lead her. This was my part I was all worried about. How you do that sinner's prayer thing? Guys, if you really look in the Bible, you're not going to find it. Because see, that's what I did. I rifled through the Bible trying to find this sinner's prayer, and it wasn't there. Those are principles. It's principles of confessing our sin to God and agreeing with Him and repenting of it. And the principle that you call on Jesus to be your Lord. And I'm just going to tell you, somehow, some way, I can't figure it out, Paula already knew how to do that. It was because the Holy Spirit was upon her. And I'm just going to tell you, whenever we got done praying, you know, at that time I always prayed with my eyes closed. I should have prayed with my eyes open that day, though, because I missed something really beautiful. Whenever I opened my eyes and I saw her, she was aglow with the Holy Spirit. she had a glow and a smile on her face. As the first person I've ever been responsible, God used me to actually lead to the Lord. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm addicted. It's what I live for. It brings chills on my body now to talk about it. And you know what? I didn't have to know it all. God knows it all. I was just this, you know, honestly, this poor old dumb country boy who went on a mission trip to run a chainsaw. That's what I knew how to do, and God used me to lead Paula to the Lord. He did all the work. Guys, I'm telling you, there ain't one of us in this place He can't use if His power's on us. How do we get it? You just do what He says. You just pray and ask Him, and He'll do it. Do you want that kind of power? Oh man, I do. And I want to stay in that kind of power. I want to walk in that kind of power. Because I hate worrying about everything and thinking it's all on my shoulders. It's too much pressure. If you want that kind of power, then in this next song, I say come forward to the altar and ask for it. Ask God. Say, rain it down from heaven, Lord, because He will. But I tell you, He wants our heart to be right with Him. He wants us to be surrendered to Him. He just wants us to be willing and be available. He'll do all the rest. Let me pray for us. Dear God, we just come to You right now, Lord. We know that this power is available to every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ. You died on that cross to pay for our sins, having lived a perfect life, one that none of us have ever lived. And Lord, You poured out Your grace on us that we might be saved as well. All we need to do to be saved is to confess, to believe in our heart that God has raised You from the dead, and to confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, as we do that in true spirit, You come upon us in the Holy Spirit, and we become born again, a new person, Lord, with the Holy Spirit living in us. God, but we need that Holy Spirit power to overcome us, to guide us, means to guide, to be the one who empowers us, that we be controlled by You. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Make us bold, Lord. And God, for anybody that wants that kind of power, let them just ask. Oh God, that You would pour out Your Spirit on Your church. Give us power. God, we have got so many people around us that are dying and going to hell, and I'm afraid some of them are even in the churches. Lord, pour out Your Spirit. Bring conviction on us. Show us where we need to repent. Cleanse us and fill us with Your Spirit, that we might have the power to do what You've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Another verse yet or not, but the thing that I would do, I like that last verse, so I'm kind of thankful that God did kind of stop us there, because it talks about going out of our sickness and into His health. This is something that I was really concerned about. You know, I know that even now I'm still a sinner, amen? I still got sin in my life. I mean, I try to confess it regularly. I try to let God heal me. I try to let Him be the one to purify me. I'm not trying to work my way into heaven. I'm telling you that. I don't show up at church all the time just because I'm the preacher or just because I'm trying to work my way into heaven. In fact, everybody was worried this morning. I was late. They was thinking maybe I wasn't going to show up at all. But see, the thing of it is, guys, we just need to step into God's perfection to accomplish God's task. That's why we can't do it on our own. We're flawed vessels. We really can't do it on our own. But we got to be in agreement with God. See, God wants us to live a pure and holy life. Do I get an amen to that? But He don't want us to try to do it in our own strength. He just wants us to continually come back to Him for Him to do it through us. And so as soon as you step out to follow God, I'm just telling you, He imputes His righteousness on you. You become righteous because He's righteous. You got what it takes. It's not of you, it'll be of Him. So just go forward in that. Just keep going back to that wellspring and getting more. That's what we need to be doing. And if we're doing that, God will give us everything we need. Don't be fearful. Remember what He said to Joshua? Right? Be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't let the word of the Lord depart from your mouth day or night. You know, take it in. Let it become who you are. Live it. And then, you know, when we're going about life, we're doing everything else, guys, you'll be His witnesses. That's what's awesome. You go to a craft show, you become witnesses of God at a craft show. Yeah. At your job, you're a witness of God at your job, you know? You just let everything come under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. Man, God will use us. And then we meet together and we'll take special days and we'll go out and do stuff together too. It's both ands, not either or. And we're united in that. You share your prayer concerns with us, we pray while you're wherever you are, being a witness for God. I'm telling you guys, God's got a good plan. He's got a good plan. We just need to stay in the center of His will. Do we have any birthdays today?
Any birthdays?
It's all part of His good plan, too.
How about anniversaries? What? Birthday?
Does Charlie want to go forward?
Birthday, come on.
Come on up, buddy.